listening to an encore presentation of Faith and Family.
What does it mean to be financially fit? Joining me in studio today, Ostolio Gomez. He's a director of worker resources at Concordia Plan Services here in St. Louis. Hey, Ostolio, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio here today. Looking forward to learning how to be financially fit. Also joining us in studio today, Mark Borchardt. He's the Director of Retirement Products and Services at Concordia Plan Services. Mark, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Good morning. I think I'm ready to retire. Can you help me out with that?
Start now. Get ready by starting now.
No, I think I'm ready to retire now.
Are you sure?
No, probably not. I was hoping he would say yes.
I don't know anything about your situation, so I can't tell you whether or not you're ready.
That sounds like you practiced that a little bit. Well, I am excited to learn about what you all do with Concordia Plan Services, learn about your work, and also the how you help our church workers prepare for retirement and just being financially fit. And I think this is something that we all can benefit, not just church workers, but all can benefit from in terms of being financially fit. Ostolio, share with us a little bit about the work that you do with Concordia Plan Services.
I'd be happy to, Andy. My responsibilities are to provide the touches that we must provide for our workers to help them to look at their personal finances in a healthy way. Now, not everyone is healthy, but they can address these issues in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And that is to really look at who it is and how it's being provided for you. And so stewardship is always a critical aspect of what we address when we talk with folks. And simply put, the stewardship is, you know, can be defined as the daily joyful activity of a child of God. And so it's not necessarily compartmentalized. Sometimes we tend to think that that we address these issues in very narrow bands, but really it's about the way of life. And so when we address it from that perspective, every aspect, whether it's your physicality, your spirituality, your emotional well-being, all of those aspects and a variety of others actually impact how you view that whole issue of handling money.
Something tells me that this has something to do with the wellness wheel.
It does. It does. It's a great tool because it really helps us to see that in baptism, we are new creatures of God. Mm-hmm. Created by Christ and his sacrifice. And so with that in mind, and in that proper relationship that only he can establish, we have spiritual well-being. Mm-hmm. We have spiritual well-being inside of that wheel. Really, you know, all those, the six aspects are there. And so, as I mentioned before, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, relational, intellectual, vocational, physical and financial. All those aspects interact, have an impact on how we deal with this whole issue of personal finance. Personal finance, in many ways, is one of those issues that really takes the forefront because everyone is impacted by that. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks at that from a different perspective. And the fact is that there, if we look at that issue of just money, it's one of the greatest stressors in our personal life and in our relational life. Mm-hmm. And the way I like to talk about that is that when a couple gets married, here are two different cultures coming together who have never talked about money, all of a sudden being thrown together. The next morning, you're both responsible for the same checkbook. And so it's one of those things that come between people. Folks go on with their life without talking about it, making financial decisions on their own as if they're in a silo, never communicating with the other person also responsible for that money. That's where the stress comes, because one person may be thinking, why is he spending that money? The other person may be thinking, why isn't she spending that money? Oh, it's as simple as that.
How we regard money it really comes from our family of origin, doesn't
Correct.
It?
Correct.
It comes from it may or may not be like, you know, in the same manner that our parents regarded money. We may learn from mistakes or poor choices, but that family of origin really does shape how we view money and, well, in any kind of possession.
Yeah, it molds your perspective in a positive or a negative way. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a few that I speak with that are extremely healthy. And it is such a joy to talk with them about that. They're not afraid to talk about the issues that are involved there. It doesn't reflect anything about themselves. It's this gift that God has given to them, mm-hmm, that they manage together. When you see that, when you talk about that, it's really, really quite enjoyable. And then there are the majority that over time begin to develop a relationship that kind of hurdles that. Mm-hmm. But that's what they've done. Many hurdle that and kind of push that financial discussion over to the side. When the healthy thing is to just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because after all, it's just money. When people think about that, you think about that, the money is nothing but a means of exchange. Mm-hmm. You know, in an agrarian society, I grew wheat. You grew cows. Mm-hmm. I wanted fajitas. You wanted tortillas. We would swap. Now what we do is you have a service, I have money, and we exchange that.
So time, in a sense, becomes a commodity.
Exactly.
As well.
Exactly.
Because of money. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk more about this and learn what you share when providing this education for individuals. Before we get to that, Mark, let's learn a little bit about your work with Concordia Plan Services.
Sure. So working with the retirement plans, you know, our goal ultimately is for workers to be ready for retirement when it's time, and in particular, to have the income necessary for them to go into retirement. It's one of the main things that the benefits provide, right? Mm-hmm. The Concordia Retirement Plan provides a basic monthly benefit for a person in retirement. And then the Concordia Retirement Savings Plan is a 403B where a person provides some of their own money along the way. Mm-hmm. And that then helps them to be more ready for retirement when the time comes. And that part of it where the person needs to be saving on their own, you know, first you need to be financially fit, mm-hmm, before you're ready to save for retirement. So it really all works together. When it comes to getting ready and preparing for retirement, you really have to have your finances in order. Mm-hmm. You know, get your debt down, get your income, basically your inflows and your outflows in a good situation, so that you can then be putting money aside for retirement. And that's you know, where Ostolio's education comes in a lot. In what we're trying to develop more of, too, is going through those basics first, because that's what's got to happen. We hear a lot of times from people that, well, I just can't save for retirement. I don't have the income to save for retirement. And in most cases, it's just simply not true, mm-hmm, because they haven't gotten the basics right first.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the basics.
Okay.
Where do we begin, Ostolio?
Well, the way we go about making these kinds of sessions happen, there are a variety of ways. We have one-on-one sessions, and generally a worker will call and set up an appointment, or they are referred. Sometimes we have just general plenary sessions in which we promote the opportunity, mm-hmm, make folks aware of that. And then we have special sessions such as Grace Place Wellness Retreats. And that really provides a cradle for this opportunity, because they're already thinking that way, thinking about wellness. So if I just piggyback on that just a little bit, we begin talking about the proper relationship of stewardship. I think one of the things that takes place that's extremely critical is to understand that in the perfect creation, we were meant to be stewards. It wasn't sin that relegated us to be stewards. We were meant to be. So in Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 2:15, before the fall, mm-hmm, God puts them into the garden to take care of it, something to take care of, mm-hmm, what is not theirs, but something that they're wholly responsible for. Mm-hmm. And because it was perfect, everything was just the way it was supposed to be. And then sin enters the picture, and all of a sudden we begin to think that we are God, that we are the owners, that mm-hmm. we are the ones that can make decisions out of all of this without considering the whole. Once we get through that aspect of it, it changes the perspective about how you address these issues of personal finance. So we're able to really get to the basics. And really the basics are just three things. And I tell folks, if you do these three things, I guarantee you that you will be successful in financial planning. And the reason is that people think financial planning is more than this. They think of retirement investment. They think of, mm-hmm. you know, accumulation. They think of asset allocation, you know, stocks, bonds, all these other kinds of elaborate things that really are secondary. So when you think about the basics, we're looking at the knowing the difference between what you own and what you owe.
Okay.
Okay. The second thing is knowing where the money comes from and where it goes. And then the mm-hmm. third is the difference between all that you own and all that you owe.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So three things.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that.
So when we start looking at it from that perspective, we help people with tools that we've developed mm-hmm. To help them understand. You know, I misspoke on that third one. Third one really should be where the money comes from and where it goes. So I'll go through those again just to make sure that I correct myself. The first one is to know the difference between what you own and what you owe. That's the tool we use for that is a net worth statement.
Mm-hmm.
The second is where the money comes from and where it goes. That's an income statement. And then how you prioritize that spending on a regular basis is the budget. That's the document that is most difficult to understand, because when you think about budget, it's always about restrictions. It's always about I can't do this and I can't do that. But realistically, once the budget is set, then you have an opportunity to go ahead and make decisions because the guidance is already there. You've mm-hmm. already decided that between the two of you, if you're married, about what those expenditures are going to be. And if you're not married, you've decided with yourself mm-hmm. about how you're going to prioritize that spending. So what I mean by prioritizing that spending is that you just note it on that document. So even though you put taxes on there, that's not one of those things where everybody is really jumping through hoops and can't wait to pay. But we're citizens of the United States, and so we must mm-hmm. participate. It also means paying for your home, mm-hmm. paying for groceries, gasoline, all those things that someone else kind of decides for you. But once you place it on that budget, now you've said, okay, I own that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of this. I'm responsible for that. And so now you start working with that budgetary process.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about becoming healthy, it's once those three are set together, and I'll repeat those, because they're worth repeating. Know the difference between what you own and what you owe,
mm-hmm.
where the money comes from and where it goes, and how you prioritize your spending every month.
Okay.
Those are really the three. Once that happens, you're going to be able to, over time, make a plan about your future, mm-hmm. about your future finances. You're going to be able to uncover disposable income that will allow you to either concentrate on paying off your debt in a healthy way, or begin to set money aside for that retirement process mm-hmm. or the accumulation process. All those are really liberating once you get through that process.
So working through those three steps, if you were meeting one-on-one with someone, what would you look at to figure out that just that first step alone? What are some of the things you'd look at?
Well, the first thing is to just talk with folks to find out where they are.
Mm-hmm.
What are their expectations? What is it that they're planning for the future? It's interesting. Sometimes I talk with folks and they'll say, when I retire, my wife and I want to travel. And that's the first time she's heard about that. It's a really interesting interaction that takes place when that revelation is made. Things like, I don't want to travel with you every day.
Do you see that, Mark, when visiting with folks, that sometimes retirement plans between spouses are different?
Well, as you mentioned, communication's a big part of it, whether it's, you know, with anything, but with finances especially, it's a big deal, and getting ready for retirement and what you're going to be in retirement and where you're going to be and those sorts of things. You know, it can't be, if you're married, you cannot make those decisions in a silo, as we're still living.
I like to tell folks that, you know, the gifts that God has given to you are there for life. He's not waiting to get a memo from Concordia Plans that says, this guy is retired, to turn him off. They're there for life. And so if you've been in the pastorate all of your life, there are other aspects of that you may be able to participate in. If you've been an educator all of your life, there are certainly other opportunities. If you've been an administrator all of your life, whatever it is, there are still other opportunities for you to take part in. But if you haven't prepared yourself for that eventuality, for that time in your life, then you're kind of restricted. You know, Paul says that what we need to do is to be ready for every opportunity that the Lord places before us. And so, you know, we think, oh, yay, I'm ready for retirement. Now what? And so oftentimes, for instance, in Grace Place or in pre-retirement seminars, we'll hand out a daily schedule and just says, what are you going to do all day long? It's amazing what happens. How many times they'll say, well, I wanted to play a lot of golf. Really? Let's say that you're really bad and it takes you 5 hours. How many hours are there in the day? What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do with these gifts that you've been given? And so it's kind of a revelation because people aren't really realistically looking at their retirement. They're in love with the idea of retirement, but now what that means for their living. And what that could mean for, as in terms of their responsibilities of being stewards of their gifts and preparing for another aspect of their life and how God can use them in that. I had one fellow who talked about being a deep sea scuba diver instructor. And I was, okay, I guess I've never heard that, Pastor. And I talked with him about 5 years later. And sure enough, that's what he was doing. But in that group of people that he was instructing, he was creating opportunities for Bible studies and opportunities for people to know who Jesus is, because ultimately that's the only reason we exist. And so he was sharing that with them, but because he had done all of his preparation, he was free to be able to participate in that event, those events, those opportunities, freely, without worrying about these other issues. So he knew his retirement plan was there. He knew that his Social Security was going to be where it needed to be. He had accumulated some other funds, and he had reduced all of his extra spending, unnecessary spending, and so he was able to focus in on that. He was so happy and so joyful, and I was too, knowing that the gospel message is being considered, and maybe four or five different people every year that he teaches how to deep sea dive.
And that's I'm sure quite a face-to-face opportunity where you get to know someone.
Well, Stelio, earlier you mentioned that you know, having a budget is often viewed as being very limiting, but you have indicated that really it's freeing. And you just spoke again about this person who was free. So how do you really get there? Let's say you're sitting down with a couple, you're looking at, you know, there's more money going out than is coming in. What now?
Well, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to take what's called a 6 months cash flow summary. And they put all of their expenditures in there over the last 6 months, and then they take an average. In the past, there have been times when, for instance, car insurance could be paid annually. And if you can't forget about that. You have to average that and include that in there. And so every month, a part of your income is going to be set aside for those kinds of expenditures. But if you take the average, it sort of gives you a jumping off point for your first budget. because you just take those averages and put it into the budget profile. And the budget itself has a column that I'm talking about. It's called amount agreed to spend, and that's simply another word for the term budget. And so when I ask who's responsible for that, it's obvious not me and the participant, but it's the participant and or the, and their spouse. Mm-hmm. So you make you outline that. And then you review that at the beginning of the month. You discuss those expenditures, and then you have an agreement. At the end of the month, you come together and you review what you actually spent. And then you just compare those two to make sure that you're within those parameters. If you are truly in agreement, what that means is now you are free now to make those expenditures without having to worry about the decision, because the decision was made jointly. Mm-hmm. And so then the question is, can I make a choice to spend money outside of that budget? And so the question or the answer has to be no, not without the ratification of the other person that's responsible for that budget. Mm-hmm. So when you discuss that, you can say, okay, we're going to change our budget. It's not in stone. But the two of you have to communicate, mm-hmm. agree. And once you've got, because you can't make an accurate budget the first time. You begin working on that process. And let's say time has gone by, and now a couple is fairly certain about where those expenditures are being made, how that prioritization is made. The next step is for them to say, what can we spend less on to free more money for debt, mm-hmm. reduction, for future retirement? How can we help find money in our budget to obviate risk? For instance, they may need life insurance. They may need, you know, more car insurance. They may need protection for the future. So those things come only by reducing the expenditures, because you only have a finite amount of income. So I'll go back to the income statement that says, you know, where the money comes from, where it goes. And I like to ask people whether or not they could spend more than they earn. And inevitably, folks will say, yes, you can. And I say, no, you can't. You can buy more than you earn by using these little plastic things. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is increasing the amount of credit card debt or delaying the inevitable. Mm-hmm. Just understanding those kinds of very simple, basic kinds of tools, I think, is what helps folks to really come to grips with the reality of their finances. None of this is a perfect system, because we have all of our perspectives and hidden agendas in mind. But after a while, communication breaks those down so that you can, mm-hmm. become healthy. And then after a while, quite honestly, you've been doing this for a long time. Sometimes you don't even need a written budget anymore. It's in your head.
Yeah,
it's in your heart.
Yeah.
Your head and heart. And so that's a good way.
With just, our time has gone so quickly, with just about a minute left, a minute for each of you here. Ultimately, going through financial education like this, what is the end goal for you as someone educating others on being financially fit?
The end goal is to make them responsible for what their actions are, change behavior when it's necessary, but to understand that this is a tool that God has given them. Mm-hmm. And just like everything else, we don't handle it perfectly. But we need to address the issues, be honest about it, and ask that the Lord would provide for that kind of strength, because that's the only place that you're going to get enough strength to be able to handle finances, whether it's good, bad, or great. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Mark?
Well, especially working with church workers, if the financial part of their lives is causing a lot of stress, then they will not be serving, mm-hmm. as well as they could be serving in their location. And so it's really important that they are able to get that under control so that the stress is, you know, relieved and they're able to better serve. Ultimately, then they're also going to be better prepared for retirement when they get there. And you know, you want people that are working because they want to continue to work and not because they have to have a check mm-hmm. in order to make it by. You want them to continue in the workforce because they want to be there mm-hmm. And then retire, you know, on their time and when they're ready.
Well, thank you both for being here today, for sharing with us. It sounds like we have more to talk about down the road.
We're here at your disposal.
Happy to do it. Thank you both for sharing with us and educating me and certainly our listeners as well. Eustolio Gomez with Concordia Plant Services, Director of Worker Resources. Thanks for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Mark Borchardt, Director of Retirement Products and Services with Concordia Plant Services. Thank you so much for being my guest
today.
Thank
you.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.